Like a backstage pass to the world of fly fishing travel, this is Waypoints, the podcast of destination angling. News and events, helpful travel tips, destination profiles, great stories, and expert advice from some of the most seasoned and experienced names in fishing travel. Waypoints is brought to you by Yellow Dog Fly Fishing Adventures, the industry's number one specialty travel company for the very best insider knowledge, logistical support, and trip preparation. Freshwater or saltwater, international or domestic, Yellow Dog has you covered for your next fishing adventure. And now, your Waypoints host, Yellow Dog founder and director, Jim Klug.
Blowing shots, falling short with your cast, frustrated by your inability to put the fly where it needs to be, missing the take, coming unbuttoned, or breaking off fish due to a bad knot or improper rigging. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, of course it does, because we've all been there. We all struggle with these types of on-the-water shortcomings. And no matter how long we've been fishing or how much we think we know, the fact is we can always up our game and we can always improve our skills. And if you think this doesn't apply to you, then I hate to be the one to tell you, but you're lying to yourself. Because when it comes to fishing, the improvement and the learning never ends. And this is especially true when it comes to destination angling. I've spent my life working in the fly fishing industry for the past 23 years, sending anglers all over the world in pursuit of great fishing and meaningful experiences. And I've learned that when it comes to these types of trips, the most valuable aspect of the entire process is rarely the money that's involved. Rather, it's the time that we commit to these excursions. Yes, the lodge packages, the gear, and the travel all require a monetary investment, and that's for sure important. But for most anglers, the actual vacation time that we commit to these adventures is the most valuable aspect of the entire experience. And because this time is limited, it behooves all of us to make the most of it by preparing, arriving ready to fish and ready to deliver when we're on the water. For most anglers who only have a week or two a year to commit to a destination fishing trip, every opportunity matters, which is why, as traveling anglers, we all want to be in the game from the first moment of the trip, capable of making the cast, delivering the fly, correctly playing the fish, and making the most of every chance we're lucky enough to have. To discuss the importance of this and to identify some concrete ways that anglers can truly up their game and improve their overall angling skills, I'm sitting down today with career guide, world traveler, and the founder of the Anglers Academy, John Hudgens. John began his career in the fly fishing industry at the age of 16, when he was hired by the legendary Bob Jacklin to work at Jacklin's Fly Shop in West Yellowstone, Montana. John has guided fishing in Montana, Idaho, and Yellowstone National Park since 1998, guided in Chile for five seasons, managed lodges, and for more than 10 years ran the South America program for Yellow Dog Fly Fishing. John recently founded the Anglers Academy Fly Fishing School to create an opportunity for all anglers to tap into the knowledge and experience of some of the most accomplished and talented personalities in the fly fishing industry, in a setting that instills a sense of respect for the rich traditions of the sport while cultivating a deeper understanding of the key elements that make fly fishing such a unique pursuit. Now, I've talked with John numerous times about dedicating an episode of this podcast to upping your game as an angler, advice on how to become a better fisherman and find more fun and success in the water, no matter where in the world you're fishing. And with this episode, we're finally making it happen, and John Hudgens is here and sitting down with us. Hudge, welcome to Waypoints.
Well, thanks, Jim. Appreciate having me on.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. We've been talking about this for a while. And, you know, it's a question we get all the time from traveling anglers. You know, how can I set myself up for success from the moment I arrive, whether you're headed to the salt, whether you're headed to a Western river, you're headed to the jungle, wherever it may be. You know, how can I show up ready and enjoy more success? So this has been a long time coming. Now, let me start with this. You know, you've guided a lot of years in a lot of different places. And over that time, you've not only worked with thousands of clients, you know, throughout the West and in South America, but you've also been lucky enough to work with some of the most knowledgeable professionals in the sport. How has this helped your development in fly fishing, your career, and specifically, how has it led you to what you're doing right now with teaching and instruction?
Well, yes, I've been really fortunate to find my way to some of these pros and to mentor under them at an early age. To name a few, you know, Bob Jacklin gave me a start. He's wonderful in so many ways, especially with young people getting into the sport. Mike Lawson on the Henry's Fork, one of my greatest mentors. Bob Lamb, longtime guide on the Henry's Fork, Madison, Yellowstone Park area, including yourself. Working for you at Yellow Dog. So Jim Klug, another fellow I'd like to recognize that's helped me lately in the last, say, decade tremendously is John Jurasek. And all these people I just mentioned, Jim, they're all part of our team there at the Anglers Academy. And I was so fortunate enough to mentor under these guys, fish with them, tie flies with them, study casting with each of them.
Drink whiskey with a few of them.
Right, right. Go out, you know, hit the road with them. So I've been able to take a little from everyone, and not just the guys I mentioned. I mean, there's so many of the fishing guides that we've all fished with around the world, especially you and I together, and all the people we've been lucky enough to meet. So, you know, you take a little from everyone, but those are some of my mentors I'd like to recognize and mention here.
Well, and you know, we've known each other for a long time, Hudge, and one of the things I've always loved about your fishing and guiding attitude, you know, as well as your skill set, is that you have a deep respect for the traditions and the history of the sport and for the legendary anglers that have, you know, come before all of us, you know, and you know, you've worked with a lot of these guys, you've fished with them, and you've learned from some of the best, and really, I think it's turned you into the angler that you are today, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, years ago when I was younger and I thought I was a hot guide, you know, I thought I had found a few secret spots that only I knew about. And, you know, I also thought I was tying a few flies that only I knew how to tie. And, you know, one day Bob Jacklin sat me down and said, listen, in today's world, there are no secrets. And he's right. You know, you may be onto something that most anglers aren't, and but you're not the first one to do it. And I just have always loved knowing who figured it out and how they figured it out. Who were they? And I just love all those old stories and all the history. And I've just admired the people before me that have really made this sport what it is today. I mean, it was not that long ago that, you know, there was very little fishing in the American West. There was hardly anyone throwing flies in the salt water. So these guys all paved the road, made it the sport what it is today. And I look up to them, admire them. It wasn't easy. No one made much money. So yes, I look up to those people.
A lot of great pioneers that led us to where we are today. No doubt about it. Well, Hudge, I want to talk about some of the common shortcomings that most anglers, and specifically destination anglers, often deal with. And we're not going to discuss personal problems or character deficiencies, right? We're going to talk about actual shortcomings in the angling game. And I say this with the realization, understanding that, you know, most anglers don't have the luxury of fishing 100 or 200 days a year or being out on the water, you know, on a regular basis. For many people, a week or two of fishing over the course of a year may be the extent of their time on the water. So we get that, and that's kind of a starting point. What are some of the challenges that you've seen throughout your longtime career as a guide, the challenges you see on a regular basis? What are some of the key mistakes or problems that guides routinely see with an average client?
Jim, I think people need to be honest with themselves, with their ability with fly rod. I think that's number one. I mean, they need to understand what they can and cannot do with a fly rod. And it's a hard sport, and it's one that takes a lot of experience and practice. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll enjoy it more. And that, you know, really comes into, you have a good attitude. A successful day could be one fish. But you have to understand that this is difficult.
Got to have the right expectations.
You do.
I mean, that's the biggest thing is if you don't do it on a regular basis and you show up and you expect greatness out of yourself, you're probably going to fall short. And, you know, I always, you know, you talked about what is a great day or catching fish, you know, what's the definition of success? There's a great line that says, never let the fishing get in the way of a great fishing trip.
Absolutely.
Because it's an element, but it's not the one item that you have to measure everything by.
And if you do, you're setting yourself up for failure.
So common mistake is possibly arriving with the wrong expectations or not being honest with yourself. Good way to put it.
Absolutely. I mean, take the game of golf, for example.
Let's not.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
Let's not. I mean, take the game of golf, and let's say, you know, you're not a great golfer. You understand that because you realize what's possible with the golf club and you know where you're at. You know, I think a lot of problems is people don't realize what's possible with fly rod. And, you know, golf, you can turn on the television, you can watch the game, you can understand what you're supposed to do, you know, mentally, you could kind of think about it. Oh yeah, do this, do that. You get on the course and yeah, you realize you can't do that. You're not a pro. You don't get to do this every day. We need to have the same philosophy with a fly rod in our hand. We don't get to do this every day. And, your expectations will then, if you set them up right, you'll have a great time. If you set them up poorly, you're going to have a poor attitude, which, you know, absolutely ends in a negative experience for not just you, but possibly your boatmate, definitely the guide, everyone you're around, right?
Well, and I, you know, just for the record, my golf game is usually limited to a putter, you know, and a windmill and a giant clown head. So that's about the extent of my golf game. Right. So, but really good analogy, actually.
So, you know, upping your casting game, yes, you know, can add some distance. It can add some accuracy, which is obviously going to help, you know, in closing the deal and catching more fish.
But really, what else does casting do for you? I think that's a good question that not enough people talk about, really.
Right. Well, you know, casting opens the door if you're a good caster. That opens the door to so many places where you can now enjoy fly fishing. And oftentimes, you can leave the crowds behind if you're a great caster or a good caster, meaning you can, there's a lot of waters out there that are a little more technical, a little more difficult to fish, and people aren't going to have great success on if they're not at that level of angler. So it really opens the door. It also allows your guide, if you're on a guided trip, to take you somewhere else, to take you to a place where he has confidence you may do well. He or she may have confidence you may do well there because you can handle the fly. You know, it's not going to be a beat up place. You're not going to be in the crowds. It just really opens the door like a skier on the mountain. You know, if you're staying on the groomed runs and you're in that big track, that big crowded track, and you're on the same lift and you're waiting in line, that's sort of the experience you're going to get in today's world, being an average caster. Being able to leave that environment and go see what else is out there, go see the rest of the mountain, go see the rest of the water, go fish a different river that you may be on the same river as someone, but you're fishing different water. So casting really opens the door. I cannot place enough emphasis on casting. And we go over it an extreme amount there at the academy. And the one thing we want everyone to walk away with is really upping their game, their casting game.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a great point in, you know, especially in the U.S. West these days in the summers. I mean, let's face it, some of the popular rivers, you know, there's a lot of people out there. There just is. And finding that solitude and oftentimes opening that door because you've upped your game and have that kind of next level of ability, that's incredibly important these days. And it's getting hard to find. So, you know, it's not just, you know, discovering sneaky water that no one else has been on. It's being able to go to places that the average angler honestly isn't going to find success on.
Correct. Yeah. That's absolutely it.
Well, you know, we honestly see that all the time with clients. And again, it's not a reflection on, you know, their passion about the sport or, you know, how excited they are to go somewhere. But the fact is people are busy, right? And a lot of times, especially with destination angling, you know, as anglers rarely practice their casting in the lead up to a trip. And this is a really big deal because, you know, it's not uncommon for an angler to literally, you know, arrive at a lodge and on the first morning of their first day of fishing, they're rigging up their fly rod for the first time since they put it away at the end of the last trip. And, you know, when you're doing that and you're not practicing, you know, that's
going to have an impact. And it's probably going to take you 3 or 4 days to get back into the rhythm of casting. And all of a sudden you're halfway through your trip. So, you know, the ability to practice that cast and just forcing yourself to do it before you head out on a destination trip, or even, a full day on the river, you know, do some casting. There is nothing more important than practicing that. And we've talked about this on so many of these different episodes in so many different contexts, but you know, when we have guides from different places that come onto the show and, you know, we're doing a destination profile, I always ask the question, you know, what advice do you have for anglers that are coming to fish with you, wherever in the world you are? And the number one thing without question is, please practice your casting before you get here.
Right, right. And it's not all about just practicing your casting and or practicing your casting a few days before you go. Do you think that's really going to make a difference, Jim, a day or two? You need to practice like you care about this, right? You need to practice a little bit more often than a day before you go on the trip. And you need to practice with the right casting mechanics.
Yeah.
Let's say you, again, playing golf, you slice the ball quite often. You go to the driving range, you slice it every day on the driving range. And now what good is that doing you? It's actually ingraining those bad, habits. You're consistently bad. So, you know, yes, absolutely. Practice makes perfect, or, you know, you're trying to achieve that at least, but you need to practice, the right way. And honestly, a lot of people need a little bit of professional help.
You know, casting's not easy. It just is. And actually, you know, the golf swing is a pretty good analogy. You know, carving a great GS turn on a pair of skis, you know, same thing. There are mechanics that are involved in that. And getting out and doing it and doing it consistently is going to help. But having the right instruction and somebody that can help you really define the mechanics and do it the right way, so that, as you just said a moment ago, you're not consistently repeating bad habits, that's going to be a game changer. And it is going to make such a difference in how you perform when you're out on the water. Now, again, maybe you're somebody that says, look, I don't have time. I love being out in a boat. I like my saltwater trip every year. I really don't care how I do. I just enjoy being out there. Then that's awesome. That gets back to the expectation
point.
And that's fine. There is nothing wrong with that.
Hey, no one cares how well you fish.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if you do, and you're going to go out there and get frustrated because you're not getting it done and you're not putting the fly where it needs to be, then that's an opportunity to do something about it. And as you said, it starts well before your first day of a trip.
That's right. And, you know, let's go back to casting real quick, because, you know, what should you do as far as getting out on the lawn before your trip? You know, should you rip off 80, 90 feet of line and see if you can throw it all? Is that a realistic situation on most fishing trips?
Very few.
Yeah, probably not. Really, yeah. What you ought to be practicing is practicing accuracy. You really need a target out there that you're trying to hit. Then you need to do some other things with your cast, slack line cast, for example. If you're going trout fishing and you want to rehearse, you know, a reach cast, a bounce cast, some of these other casts. If you're going saltwater fishing, you know, typically you're not going to start with the line 40 feet out, pick it up and throw it the same 40 feet again, time and time again. So you're going to start with fly in hand and you're going to have to work that out. So try to practice in a fashion where you're actually going to, that's something you're going to use.
It's applicable to where you're going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of it. You know, casting prep, and we're going to keep circling back to this, arguably the most important way to prepare for a successful trip. But what are some of the other key elements of trip preparation that people can focus on? And again, as you know, this is a podcast that really kind of all comes back to destination angling and the places that fly fishing can take you. But, you know, so much of it depends on preparation ahead of time. And along with the casting and recognizing that it kind of all starts there, what are some of the other trip prep items that people can focus on?
Yeah, again, it's understanding your ability and having realistic expectations. Those two things need to be aligned, first of all. Mm-hmm. And just remind yourself, really nobody cares how skilled you are. And you need to let your guide know where you're at with your skill level. Mm-hmm. And look, you're probably going to have a great time. Some other things, you know, that you can work on or study. You know, if you're proficient with your knots, and you're back in the game in a matter of seconds or less than a minute, you know, you're back in the game. You're not sitting there for 20 minutes. And it's not just the 20 minutes you're sitting there struggling with the knot. You're frustrated now. And, you know, you've had to start over two or three times. You've missed 20-minute sessions of fishing that may be the peak of the day. So, yes, just being a general level of competence with your knots, understanding your leader, your overall rigging, having your flies prepped, and, you know, being willing to listen to the guide and take instruction well.
And, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's why I hire a guide, is they're going to do that for me. And generally, yes, most of them will. But there are times and there are places where it really behooves you to understand how to rig yourself, you know, to tie knots that aren't going to come, you know, unbuckled the second you come tied on a fish. You know, maybe there's two of you fishing with one guide and you're wading or you're on a river and the guide's upstream or out on the flat with your fishing buddy and you're by yourself and you need to re-rig and you've got things happening around you right there. You know, understand what you need to do and be able to do it well. I mean, that's an element of preparation that I think, you know, again, every complete angler should really have.
Right. It's whatever level you want to take this sport, just like anything. You want to, you know, go ski once a year and stay on the greens, or do you want to see the rest of the mountain and be an avid skier? It's all the same, you know. How far do you want to take this? But if you're an angler that's interested in becoming better or being as good as you can be, yeah, you need to work on your knots. You need to understand your leader. You need to have your flies sorted out. And there's a physical aspect to fly fishing, too. You know, it's not just wading. It's casting all day. It's standing all day. It's being in the sun after a big round of rum with the boys the night before. It's a lot of things that it can be physically demanding. So being honest with yourself, with your physical ability, as well as your casting ability, those
really
are things that you have to get your attitude right. And if it is right, I guarantee you're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah. And, you know, matching your fishing and your destination with both your expectations and your honest limitations.
I think
that's huge.
Yep.
You know, you're going to enjoy it a lot more. Well, you know, trip prep, we always come back to that. What are some of the traditional or existing, let's call them educational resources that exist for anglers that want to prep ahead of time, that really want to improve their skills and arrive ready? What, you know, traditionally, what are some of those resources that are out there?
Well, I think the best resource is to get one-on-one with an instructor. And that instructor could come from your local fly shop, you know, and obviously working on your casting stroke and the mechanics there. And that way you have something when you leave that lesson, that something to work on in your own backyard and to do it correctly. But, you know, if you don't have that ability, obviously in today's world, I did not grow up this way, but, you know, there's some terrific videos and YouTube resources, really good stuff online. Typically, your local fly shop will have some sort of instructional opportunity there. There's been seminars, schools offered through companies like Orvis and, you know, on the East Coast for many, many years. I got to believe those are great resources, too. Anytime you can get instruction, you could always learn from somebody and you can take that home with you and improve on it.
So with all of these traditional resources that are out there, Hudge, and I think you could argue there's probably more information available at our fingertips than ever before. I mean, there's just endless information that's out there online, all sorts of YouTube videos. But even with all of that available, what are we still missing? You know, what has traditionally kind of been absent, in your opinion?
Well, traditionally, there were fly fishing schools, and there were a number of them. You know, Joan Wolf has had a very famed fly fishing school. Mel Krieger had a famed fly fishing school. There's the Fenwick schools. There was Andy Pouillon's schools. There's many, many schools. Orvis had great schools for and still do. There's a lot of that, and they were very, very popular, and people got a lot from them. A lot of our, you know, you go down to and talk to some of these older guides, and a lot of their favorite clients to fish with came out of those schools. And so what the schools did for you was they basically gave you a one-on-one type opportunity, and learning on the water with a professional in real life situations. It is kind of difficult just to study literature, just to watch a video, have a friend kind of give you a tip here and there. You know, they're not real encouraging. You typically don't stick with those kind of lessons all that often and long enough. And as good as they can be, there's nothing better than having someone right over your shoulder helping you. When you have a question, they answer it. The better you get, the more questions you'll have. You don't have questions when you don't know what to ask.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, there are a lot of schools out there. And I think, you know, as we see more and more people coming into the sport, more and more businesses and shops and companies are now offering their schools. And, you know, some are casual, some are super short. And honestly, a lot of them are kind of glorified guide trips, right? But, you know, it's hard to kind of cut through and say, this one is going to be right for me, or, you know, I'm going to learn everything I need to know from this one school. But, you know, that leads into asking you about your new project, the Anglers Academy. And I know you put a ton of work into creating this curriculum and creating this offering. What makes the Anglers Academy different from the other schools that are in existence? And really, you know, honestly, what sets your program apart from the other options that are out there?
Well, what sets us apart, number one, is the location of where we hold the schools. We have several locations, but they're basically in Montana and Idaho. The Henry's Fork is our primary location, which is in the greater Yellowstone area, which is kind of the birthplace for Western fly fishing. There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of quality people there in the sport of fly fishing. It is truly the mecca of the Western U.S. fly fishing. So that's where we hold the school. Also, you know, the skills that our teachers have and their skill set to share their knowledge. We'll talk about the quality of the instructors down here in a few minutes. But, you know, really it boils down. There's a lot of people that know this stuff. There's a few of them that can convey it and share their knowledge in a clear an understandable way to people and get their point across and really help someone get better. So I think that's where, you know, the Academy is a little bit different from some other programs out there.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being a great angler and being a great instructor. You don't necessarily have, you know, one and the same on that. So being able to do both, that's kind of a rare thing. So who is the Academy for? You started the schools program. What sort of anglers are you targeting or inviting or encouraging to come to the Academy?
Jim, it's anyone that loves the sport of fly fishing or wants to be better at the sport of fly fishing. And, you know, we don't currently offer a true 101 type course. We're really more focused around intermediate type anglers or some people that want to be even more advanced than they are. I think they can come and learn quite a bit from the instructors we have at our school. People that, you know, got a little taste of fly fishing, they understand it's difficult. They understand it takes a lot to be good at this. And they're thirsty to learn a little more. You know, they want to perfect their cast. They want to know how to approach a fish. They want to know, hey, where do I start when I show up to the river? What are some common things to get started? You know, how do I rig and rig efficiently? So those are the kind of folks that we want to attract.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think you've told me before, the goal is that you take someone that loves the sport, that, you know, can go out and enjoy a great guided day, you know, pretty much anywhere, but that then wants to take it a little bit more to the next level where they can be proficient on their own and have that skill set to go out onto the river by themselves, you know, rig, read water, select the right fly, figure out where they want to be fishing and be in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I had the chance to work with you at the inaugural school as a presenter and an instructor, Hudge. And the thing that most impressed me, and you just touched on this a minute ago, was the staff that you put together for these schools. And you know, these are not wet behind the ears college kids or new guides that are simply floating you down the river on a day trip. These are some of the most seasoned names in the industry. And you clearly put a lot of work into assembling your instructor corps for these schools. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm so proud of putting together this group. I mean, these guys are the guys that took me under their wing when I was a young kid and taught me to fish. I've stayed in close contact with them all these years, still work with them at some level, and we still go fishing. Yeah, we have a few people that you may recognize: Bob Jacklin, Mike Lawson, John Jurasek, Bob Lamb, Jim Kluke, Brian Gregson. You know, we have, and the list goes on. You know, Jonathan Heems, Alice Owsley, and there's a number of other folks I'm just leaving out right now. But you know, all these people have been lifetime dedicated anglers and in professionally involved with fly fishing. They've taught courses and schools and guided and led trips all around the world. These guys are complete anglers and gals, yeah. And I was lucky enough to put them all together. And so at our schools, all 12 of these instructors will be present throughout the course. And they all have something different to touch on and different delivery. One thing that I can promise is they're all genuine people. They all care. They don't need to make this the money. They want to show up and do this for you. They really have a lot to offer. And of course, once the 5 or 6 o'clock, once cocktail hour comes around, whether you have, a glass of water in your hand or a bourbon or something, they're there to hang out and talk with. And that's probably one of the most special times of the whole school.
Yeah. Sitting on the porch, looking over the water and hearing the stories from people who have made this their life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is a neat aspect, no doubt. Well, you just mentioned a name that I want to touch on, John Jurasek. Now he is your kind of head casting instructor for the Academy. And John is basically like a casting shaman. I mean, this guy is next level. And every day of the school, you're doing breakout sessions with casting, and it's all about the mechanics of the cast and the mechanics of the casting stroke. And to see people that show up on day one, and again, a lot of people have spent some time fishing, they come to the school to watch how their cast is transformed over the next 3 to 4 days by working with John and having John as an instructor is mind blowing. And I saw it with that first inaugural school with every single student in the class. I mean, John is absolutely next level when it comes to the mechanics of casting.
You know, I think he's the very best. I all these guys that I just rattled off, and there's a lot more that are gone now, not with us any longer, but I studied under as well. And I got to say, I think John, in my opinion, is the very best at conveying the message and teaching clearly and understandably, and to actually watch his results with folks and, go from sort of a sloppy cast all of a sudden, day two, day three, very tight, accurate loops, and on to advanced casts, reach casts and bounce casts and even putting a little haul in there from time to time. But John is very, dedicated to teaching the mechanics and, much like a pitching coach, teaching a pitcher how to throw the ball. I mean, you need someone to help you. I've had that my whole life. You've had it, Jim. It helps. It goes a long way. A lot of anglers are self-taught, and you could be a good fisherman and a poor caster. But if you're a good caster and a good angler and a good fisherman, you're going to do well in most situations. So,
well, the thing I also noticed about watching John as he's instructing and working with students is his demeanor is phenomenal. And he has the ability, as you said, to take someone and let's say there's six people there and they've all got different ability levels. They've all got different bad habits, because we all do when it comes to casting, he can literally break down for each one of those anglers what they need to focus on, what they need to be working on. He can pick apart the mechanics. And all of a sudden, an hour later, you look at those six lined up on the lawn or on the water next to each other, and they're all improving. It's pretty amazing to see.
Well, yeah, Jim, what's amazing is by the end of the course, you know, John is, he goes through with poor mechanics, and he asks each person, hey, what could I change about my cast? And they know enough about the mechanics of the cast, what it should look like, to actually instruct John on how to change his stroke. So, you know, not only is your stroke improving, you can actually help a family member, a friend, and do it correctly. I mean, it's
a process.
It is.
Understanding the mechanics.
It is. And John just lays it out so clearly that it's easy to get a hold of.
So casting, big part of really every day at the Academy. What are some of the other things that are taught by the other instructors? You know, other elements of the overall curriculum. What else can folks expect to learn when they go through one of the Academy courses?
Well, we want folks to actually come out of this as a better angler, right? So, yes, we have some in-class presentation things that we do need to go over, but a lot of our instruction is on the water. And as great as casting is, for example, on the lawn, you know, and you learn a lot there. You go to the water, and now there's all sorts of issues. There's line management issues. There's wind. There's, you know, how do I approach this fish? How do I get around them? What sort of angle should I? So there's so much more, right? And that's where the other instructors come in. We have sessions on, you know, where do I start? Where are fish lying? You know, how to approach them from upstream, how to approach them from downstream, how to re-rig, when to re-rig. Should I change flies? Is that my problem? All sorts of issues. Observation, we teach a lot about that. You know, slow it down a little bit. Look around. You can learn a lot from what's going on. And so there's quite a bit, but we do a lot of this on water and around fish.
In the classroom, knots, rigging, what else?
Yeah, we go over some of the bait, you know, whether it's bait fish or insects. We definitely go over some slides of what they look like. We also, you know, go out on the water and show you that, you know, fish food.
Water entomology.
Right, yeah, but cool. We definitely cover some of that with slideshows in school, in an indoor setting. Knots is usually done in an indoor setting. But most of our stuff is done on water.
Yeah. And then in the evenings, you guys bring in a speaker each night that usually talks about like the history of one element of the sport, or, you know, great stories or journeys around the world. So it's entertaining. As
right.
Much as
yeah. We always have some entertaining piece that's really fun in the evenings, or, you know, with drink in hand and just following dinner. And we bring in some great people for that.
Well, for the coming year, where and when are the Anglers Academy schools being held?
Yeah, we have three courses this coming summer. First one starts in May. It's May 1st through the 5th. It's based on the Madison River, the Madison Double R Lodge. It's a women's course. It's just dedicated to women. It's basically the same program we run for what we call the signature course, but we're just catering that directly to women. Women are welcome at all the courses, but this is kind of a special venue and a pretty cool time to host it for a ladies group.
And the Double R is amazing as a destination. One of the nicest, you know, lodges in the world.
It's one of the top lodges. Yeah, I'd say worldwide, certainly in the U.S. West. So it's a spectacular setting for that. The other courses, let's see, we have one in July. We call the dry fly focused or advanced course. We're holding that at the famous Harriman State Park, also known as the Railroad Ranch, a unique section of the Henry's Fork River in Idaho. And it's held there, right there at Harriman. We have it catered. Everyone stays on at the old Harriman buildings. Very cool. We also have the signature course, and that's in early August 6th through the 11th at a place called Elk Creek Ranch, which is also in the Henry's Fork area. And we use the Henry's Fork River for most of our on-water fishing and subjects.
Yeah. A lot of history there at Elk Creek. That's pretty cool. Well, what's the feedback that you've gotten so far from the students that have attended the Anglers Academy, that have gone through the course? What's the feedback been like, and what are people saying about the program?
It's been very, very, very positive. We've been fortunate to have really some great students, and you know, everyone's learned a lot, of course, but we've had a lot of fun, and that's what it's all about. And the evenings have been spectacular. Everyone's been super attentive on all the subjects in the daytime. I mean, when John's teaching casting, you literally have to rip the rods out of people's hands to get them to go in for lunch and that sort of thing. It's been great. We stay in close contact with all of our students, and you know, it's sort of a little club or family, if you will. If you've gone through this program, you know all these people. You can call them. You could ask them about how's the fishing been. You know, who should I fish with? Where should I go? Have you been here before? You know, what are the hatches doing? So I stay in close contact with all of them. Many of them are returning this summer for, you know, the dry fly session at Harriman. I know a lot of the instructors also guide fishing, and a lot of our students are hooked up with them for the summer too. So
nice. Well, tell us where people can learn more about the Academy and where they can contact you for more information.
Sure. We have a website, theanglersacademy.com. You can visit that, and all of my contact information is on there. I encourage people to give me a call. This is a very small boutique type operation, and you know, we could go back and forth with some emails, but really the best thing is to give me a call. You can also find information about it and speak to Yellow Dog Fly Fishing Adventures, both on the Yellow Dog website and in the catalog. You'll find details there. We have, you know, some little videos floating around.
Some great videos. Yeah.
They give you an idea of what you can expect and what things look like. So.
Yeah. Well, congrats on putting this together. You know, again, we talked about working in the industry for a lot of years, and with all of the options and traditional kind of educational resources that are out there, I can tell you that this was certainly needed. And having worked with you at the school and as a part of the program, I can tell you that it is a one of a kind offering. And I would encourage anybody that really wants to up their game and become more of that complete, well-rounded angler to look into the Anglers Academy. So congrats on putting it together, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
Well, that's it for this episode of Waypoints, the podcast that is 100% dedicated to travel, adventure, and exploration. Be sure to visit yellowdogflyfishing.com to plan and research your next fishing trip, sign up for newsletters and new podcasts, and stay up to date on the latest travel news and developments. Join us for our next episode of Waypoints, and remember, life is short, and no one ever regretted a life of adventure.
This has been another episode of Waypoints, the podcast of fly fishing, travel, and adventure angling. Waypoints is produced by Brian Gregson, with music provided by the Steep Canyon Rangers. Visit yellowdogflyfishing.com for more destination profiles, travel news, and expert advice, and be sure to join us for our next episode.